those of us who love him and who take him to his rest today, pray that what he was to us, what he wished for others, will someday come to pass for all the world. As he said many times in many parts of this nation, to those he touched and who sought to touch him, some men see things as they are and say, why? I dream things that never were and say, why not?
Welcome back to another segment of Prayer in the Air. I'm John Sachs. With me is Pastor Tom Foti, Air Force Reserve Chaplain of the 911th Air Wing Command, based out of Pittsburgh International Airport, Tactical Airlift Wing. Welcome to the show, Chaplain.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
You've been an ordained minister since 2004 and in the Air Force for several years now.
Correct. I was attached there in November 2009.
In a time of war, your job must be pretty tough.
As a chaplain, I'm tasked with the pastoral care of the entire wing, which is about 3,500 personnel. That number does not include family, friends, people back home, especially when they're deployed. So my primary tasking is to make sure they're doing well, how their morale is, what their spiritual situation is during times of conflict. In addition to that, my role is also to advise command about matters of ethics, morale, religious concerns, whether it be a major holiday, things like that, that they need to be concerned about in the religious world.
Chaplains have been around for a long time.
The chaplaincy dates back to the time of war itself. As far back as recorded history is concerned, there have been religious leaders involved in military conflicts throughout history. You find priests and ministers of different types serving in wars in the Old Testament, bringing upon prayers and petitions for their gods to lead their militaries in a blessed war. The modern connotation of chaplain comes about in probably about the 18th century with the dawning of the American Revolution.
I hear that the ACLU is trying to make your job even harder.
Especially since the time of the Vietnam War, there have been a number of opportunities that the secularists of the world have tried to limit the power and the ability of chaplains like myself to perform the ministries that we've been called to perform in the military context. They've cited things like the First Amendment, which says that Congress shall not make law respecting an establishment of religion, and using that to say that the chaplain is in fact doing that. Whereas if you were to continue to read that amendment, the opposite is actually the truth, where the amendment fully states Congress shall not make a law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And the true legality of the military chaplaincy comes from that end clause. Whenever a man or a woman is sent off to war into a remote location, there is no opportunity for them to practice their religious rights. Without that protected right for them to do that, the United States government is in violation of its First Amendment. That gives us the requirement to perform the religious rights that they desire.
Can you give us some insight as to what our men and women think before they ship out to the Middle East?
The Middle East is It's nothing new anymore. We've been involved for 20, 30 years, whether that's popularly accepted or not. When new recruits are sent off to the Middle East, it's just like any war throughout history. These young men and women are dealing with questions about life and death. They're dealing with a lot of spiritual questions because that culture is very different spiritually than ours. And the role of the chaplain in that context is to provide an academic and objective understanding of what the people of the Middle East, where they're coming from, what their views of the world are, and sharing those views in an understandable way with the men and women who are going to war so they can rationalize where they are and understand that in relationship with where the people are from that part of the world.
How are they when they return?
I think the time in which we've seen men and women coming back emotionally scarred by the atrocities of war is upon us now as much as it's been upon us at, say, times like World War II or Vietnam. Our men and women are seeing things that no one should ever have to see, and it's quite literally just the nature of war, and it's ugly, and it's brutal, and it's really, really difficult, not only for the men and women who are there, but for the families they have to come back to and perhaps tell those stories to or find somebody to tell those stories to so they can process them.
This time of year is a special time to reflect and honor those men and women who have paid the ultimate price.
The men and women who have answered the call of their nation to go overseas to defend our rights, the human rights of those not even of our country, they're answering a calling I believe is ordained by God, to go out and defend freedom. What I identify most with those men and women who answer that call is their ability to see that life is bigger than themselves, that life is an opportunity for the entire world to experience life to its fullness. Those who answer this call to defend our freedoms have this nature that tells them there's more important things, and that is others' well-being. And when they go out and they serve our country admirably, honorably, and unfortunately make that ultimate sacrifice, the role of the chaplain, that's the most difficult time, to be able to explain to the families and to the loved ones that they didn't die in vain. Their life is part of a grand story of the pursuit of freedom. They're answering the call to defend people's freedom, to defend the freedom of those who don't have it yet. And that is the greatest call anyone can answer. To explain that to a family member is a very difficult thing to do. But I find that those who answer that call and those whose families support that call, they find comfort in knowing that their loved one's life had purpose. And that was the meaning of their life carries on in the freedoms that we have today and the freedoms that other nations and other people groups all over the world are enjoying right now or will enjoy in time to come.
Even when our troops eventually come home, their job still won't be done.
Evil exists in our world, and it's as plain and simple as that. I think many people try to ignore the fact that evil does exist, that there are people out there who are, I don't like to say that any particular person is evil, but I believe that there are many people who are just wrapped up in this evil nature of desiring things that aren't theirs, of pursuing their own well-being and dominating their part of the world by use of force. What I hope people understand is that when God created this world, He created it for our enjoyment. In the ways in which we are to share it with one another, in ways in which we are to love one another and to provide for one another, even if it means sacrificing ourselves. And that's what's so difficult to understand. Whenever we see those who do these kinds of things, who pursue this evil, they've distorted this idea that we are to be a loving and sharing people, and one that gives freely to those in need. I believe if we all were able to understand this nature of creation, that we are here to love one another, we'd see evil go away. We wouldn't have these problems. But unfortunately, that's not the nature of our fallen world.
Could you comment on what motivates a young man or woman to volunteer for the military?
Some of my motivations for being part of the United States military, being a member of the Air Force Reserve, and serving alongside our men and women who defend our freedom comes from Scripture itself. I think of the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts and the way he went around to cultures unlike his own to start churches, to reach into the lives of those people who he didn't even know at first. In particular, there's a story, and it comes from Acts chapter 17, in which the Apostle Paul goes to Athens. He realizes they're not from the Jewish background that he is from. And so he doesn't just try to force his understanding of Scripture, his Jewish background, upon them. Instead, he grows in his understanding of the culture in which he's in, the Athenian culture of many gods, of Greek gods, and studies their philosophers and their poets. Then he begins to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with them in a way that they can understand by wearing the clothes that they wear and quite literally telling the stories that they tell. That's why I do what I do in the United States military. I'm a minister first. I'm an officer in the United States Air Force second as a chaplain. When I put on that uniform and I stand side by side with those who are defending our freedom, those who are there on the front lines, I can further identify with them as human beings, as who they are, the experiences that they've had. Rather than just telling them the story of the gospel from the outside in, I'm part of the environment and the culture that they are, so I can understand them and speak to them and comfort them in their times of need in ways that many people cannot because they just don't have those kinds of experiences.
What do you say to the friends and families of fallen heroes?
To the family members who perhaps have lost loved ones, who have seen their children, maybe their brothers or sisters or their husbands or wives, make the ultimate sacrifice, I say God be with you, because God was with your loved one. God was by their side. Whether they knew it or not, God was guiding their path to help preserve the freedoms that we enjoy now and to provide the freedoms that so many people don't even know exist. Your loved ones went out into this world to seek and to serve not only this country, which is a grand country. They went out to provide the peace and the freedoms that we enjoy to those who may not otherwise know it. We've been called out of our comfort zone, each and every one of us. We've been called out of our households, out of where we find ourselves at peace, to place ourselves in a dangerous situation for not only our physical safety, but for the spiritual well-being of those all over the world. God is not happy with us just being comfortable. He's happy when His kingdom is spread and His message is sent out to the furthest reaching nations. And what better way to do that than to bring the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the freedoms and political protections that come with a democracy and the American way of life.
Chaplain Tom Foti from the Air Force 9/11 Air Wing Command in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Thank you so much for having me.
Prayer in the Air will continue in a moment.
Prayer in the Air, 88.7 FM, a community service of Jefferson Memorial Funeral Home and Cemetery, part of our ongoing commitment to provide a caring environment for you and your loved ones. I understand that 92% of the people Jefferson buried in 2008 owned their graves 20 to 30 years before they were actually needed.
Oh, that's correct. Pre-need has been going on in the cemetery industry since the 1930s, and you can see that people don't want to leave these things until they're 70 or 80 or leave them to their families. So only 8% of the people we buried last year had to come and purchase graves at the time of a death.
Making arrangements ahead of time is an incredible gift to a family. Not only does it relieve them of having to make decisions at a time when they're feeling extremely upset, but it also prevents a lot of potential family conflict.
One of the nicest gifts we can leave for our loved ones after we're gone is for them not to have to make our funeral arrangements. Stop in today while you're here and ask us to explain all the many benefits of ordering your arrangements pre-need. We have an excellent pre-need package with affordable financing options. Lock in today's pricing, not tomorrow's worry. Leave nothing for your family to deal with in their time of sorrow. When you stop in, also ask how you can post a touching memorial tribute to your loved one right here on this program. Lift their name and memory up in prayer 24 hours a day, right here where it can mean the most. Ask for a memorial tribute only at participating Prayer in the Air locations or log on to prayerintheair.net.